is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. And again, bunch of big stories out there to get to. You got the Predators at the trade deadline. You've got Tom Brady and the Titans, which we'll get back to in a second. But apparently, we've got a latest from Adam Schefter, if you're ready for this, Floyd.
Okay.
So, the new collective bargaining agreement, the owners passed it yesterday, sent it to the players. I guess a lot of the players are kind of... A lot of the players apparently negatively feel about the collective bargaining agreement, don't like it. Now, I've got the fact sheet in front of me. Like, the you know, here are the changes that are being made. For example, you know, active players get a pension increase of 10% and a 401k matching contribution increase to $30,000. But to me, it's hard for me for someone to take a sheet like this, tell me what's new about something, and then me to really have an opinion on it, because a lot of times when the NFL puts out something like this and sends it to the players, it may be hiding a little something in that contract that they don't want you to see. And so I always have a hard time with something like that. But Adam Schefter tweets out and says, quote, "After a challenging day of talks and calls, the NFL's PA board will not vote today on the proposed CBA as it had planned, per source. The vote is being delayed pending further discussions." Now, Dan Graziano was on Get Up, and I guess a lot of players tweeted out yesterday their dissatisfaction with this offer that was being offered. And Graziano's like, maybe the NFLPA needs to get themselves figured out, because the people negotiating for the NFLPA were part of these negotiations. This is what Graziano said.
"I just feel like they're not fully educated on what they're talking about. It's not like the owners sent over a proposal yesterday that no one had looked at before and said, hey, say yes or no to this. This has been negotiated between the union and the league for 9 or 10 months, and this is where they've gotten, and the union feels like this is as far as they're going to get, so they're putting it to their members to vote. I talked to a player last night who's been involved in the negotiations, and I mentioned the J.J. Watt tweet, and this guy said to me, all right, JJ, so go be a player rep. Get involved. Help negotiate the deal. So I feel like there's issues with the rank and file in the NFLPA versus the team that's been negotiating this, and we're at a point where that latter group has to sell this to that former group."
Why am I not surprised by any of this? I mean...
Well, it's a numbers thing as much as anything else. You know, you've got whatever you got, 3,000 guys that are in the union, and you've got 32 owners, you know, and plus the owners, they can get on a phone and call all 32 owners this morning and say, you know, be in Nashville by 7 o'clock, and they all jump on their jets and they are in here by 7 if that's what they need to do. Well, you can't do that with the players. And I don't know what this is not. I think if I understood it correctly, this is going to the Players Association Board of Directors for the first vote. Is it not?
So I think what I read earlier today was that it was going to go to the full union for a vote. It was originally going to go to the board, and then they decided for it to go to all the players.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. And I think this is the thing about the Players Association. I mean, every aspect of these guys' lives where decisions have to be made except for on the field, somebody makes a decision for them or helps them with that decision. And so these guys, I mean, how many of these guys that are really focused on how do I get past the right tackle of the Denver Broncos in order to go sack the quarterback, and now all of a sudden I'm sitting there looking at my HRA increase to $35,000 with increases thereafter of $50,000 per season with overall limit increasing $350,000 to $400,000, and they're like, I'm sure there are a lot of guys that read that and are like, okay.
I remember when I was your age and they were talking about me, retirement. You know, well, we can get a 401 and we can do this and whatever. You know, I don't have to worry about it. Now,
I mean,
here
I'm 30
I
years old, and the amount of things that I ask my dad about that I'm like what? Like, I got something in the mail the other day about an extended warranty on my car. And it's like, hey, like, the extended warranty is about to run out. Like, you got to do this. And I can't tell if it's from some phony company trying to scam me out of money or if it's legit or not.
Yep.
I mean, I literally was looking at this, and I'm like, well, I'll go take this letter to my dad and ask him if he thinks this is legit or fake. Like, I don't know what this is. And so I go back that there's a lot of players that are sitting there that probably have no clue about any of this stuff.
And to be honest with you, probably other than... And
like, am I going to get more money or less money?
Yeah,
like,
and that's it. And if they have, you know, if I'm a player and I'm a rookie or I'm a first-year guy or I'm whatever, and I go through this and I see, oh, okay, you know, the first-year player is going to get an increase of $100,000 for rookie minimum, and then another $50,000 in 21 and the fifth. And he starts adding that up, and he's going, wow, I'll be making almost $1 million. You know, that's all he cares about. Let's face it. All the rest of this is kind of, you know, window dressing to him. That's why they need some of these experts that can help them out. But whoever that was you were just talking about is right. I mean, the players' union representatives have been negotiating this for, I don't know what, how long, a year, you know.
Plus, the other thing about it is the players have no ground to stand on because there's 3,000 of them, and some of them are set for life and don't have to worry about it. But a lot of those guys have to keep making checks, and there's 32 owners that don't have to make a nickel and get paid by the TV deals even if there is no football, which is unbelievable, which makes no sense. But that's just, I mean, anything to get the deal done.
That's the power.
And so they're all standing there with their arms crossed, and the players are like, get the deal done, get the deal done, get the deal done. Let's go to your phones because it is your day, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Drew is up next on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Drew.
Happy Friday to you, yep. Guys. Hey, I remember when Tebow had took Denver to the playoffs, won with like 9 games, beat
Pittsburgh.
And then the following year, Peyton Manning came in, and y'all know what happened from there.
Right.
Okay. Now Tannehill. Hey, I like Tannehill, but if we can take a chance to get Tom Brady, guaranteed to win 12 games. Guaranteed to win 12 games. I know Tannehill could have won, may have won extra couple of games had he started, but Tom Brady behind center with Derrick Henry, we're guaranteed to win 12 games. And plus, take that AFC South from Houston and Indianapolis.
Thank you for the call, Drew. I don't think, like a lot of people have brought that up, I don't think that that's an equatable situation simply because I think Tannehill's better than Tim Tebow.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tebow wasn't even an NFL quarterback. Tannehill, if nothing else, is proven. I mean, he's a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL.
And works here with us. You know, Tom, I mean, if Tom came in, would there be a chance you would gain another win? Sure.
I mean, there's a chance you'll gain more wins simply by Tannehill playing 16 games.
Yeah, there's a chance if Tannehill plays an entire season, you'll get more wins. You know, with Tom coming in, I think it's all the other things that you have to really work out in your mind. You know, are you going to be willing to change a bunch of the things you do and how you change them and who you change them with? And because Tom is, you know, if Tom comes in, wherever Tom goes, Tom's not going there to learn your system. Because he doesn't care about your system.
So Shannon Sharp brought up this point today when talking about Brady and the Titans. And it was about the responsibility that Peyton Manning brought with him from Denver. And this is what Shannon said Peyton did when Peyton showed up in Denver.
The question is, Skip, when Peyton came, they turned everything over to Peyton. Whatever Peyton, they ran to play Peyton. Put the game plan together for practice. Mm-hmm. When they ran play for, you know, pregame warm-up, that was all Peyton.
Yep.
I don't know if Tom wants that kind of responsibility.
So Shannon says he doesn't know if Tom wants a responsibility. I don't think Vrabel or Arthur Smith would be willing to give Tom that kind of power and responsibility of the entire team because, again, Tom's not a coach and has never been a coach.
No, and Tom, at least my experience, Tom doesn't want to coach. Tom just wants to. Tom knows where he's supposed to throw the ball. And Tom wants to make sure that that receiver is running that route exactly the way it's supposed to be run so he can get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the extent of what he wants. You know, now he's gonna get his just because he's, you know, when he goes in there and plays, he's going to make yards and score points and do all that. I understand that. But he does not want to. We worked out with the Colts when Peyton was with the Colts here for like a 3-day, you know, you have those camps in the preseason. And I'm going to tell you what now. Peyton ran everything on the field. He ran everything. He'd be dropping back yelling to the receivers, you know, next window, next window, next window, things like that. you know, coaching as he's practicing with him. You know, Tom never, ever did that. You know, now, if you, for the third time in a row, ran that route wrong, I mean, he'd be talking to you, and he won't be happy about it. But I never saw him, for example, you know, look at a right guard and say, hey, that was a crappy block.
Yeah, but he did throw one time at the joint practices this year. He did throw like a little bubble screen to Gunnar, whatever the guy's name is, Gunnar Usalek, or I don't know how to pronounce the guy's last name. And he threw it in the ground and skipped it to him. And the ball jumped up, and I caught it in my hand right there, one-handed snag there on the sideline. So Tom Brady at least completed one pass to me in the joint practices. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Corey Curtis, News 2, going to join us coming up next. 615-737-1025, Fireball Hot Take Friday. If you got the hottest take of the day, call or text. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Collective Soul at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, March 2nd. 615-737-1025, Corey Curtis, News 2, Jared and the GM, it's ESPN, 1025 The Game. Live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared of the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday. So the NFL Players Association will eventually vote on this CBA, and you do wonder how that'll affect the Titans from a tag standpoint. But of course, the biggest story in the NFL, Tom Brady and everybody keeps circling the Titans as a team that Tom Brady may be going to. Jeff Darlington, ESPN, was on our show yesterday. And Jeff Darlington said Brady is going to, that people need to get the impression in their mind that Brady is at least the possibility that he may leave the New England Patriots, which both Floyd and I still aren't totally convinced about. But this is what Jeff Darlington said on our show yesterday.
I can tell you this right now, that Tom Brady is absolutely very much considering, which at this point I don't think is surprise to anybody, but he's very much considering leaving the Patriots. And I think that's the first thing that people need to wrap their heads around, because in the past week or two, anytime I say that to somebody, they're like, no, he's not going to leave the Patriots. And I think it's time for us to really accept that, look, he could potentially stay if things go really well between him and Bill Belichick in the coming week. But that, to me, doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And the Titans absolutely are a team that is appealing to Tom Brady at this point.
So that's what Jeff Darlington said. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on the show. Corey, your thoughts on the week-long drama that has been the Titans and Tom Brady, perpetuated mainly by ESPN.
Well, I'm going to take a second to break my arm by patting myself on the back. This is everything I said on this show like 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, now people will call in sometimes and they'll say, hey, guys, I called in 5 months ago. Do you remember my call? And every time we're like, no, we don't remember your call. Not to say I don't remember you saying this.
I wrote about it on – you can go look it up on WKRN.com.
I mean, I'm not doubting that you said this.
And I mapped out why the Titans were the best fit for Brady, you know, from the aspect that they made sure they didn't have a quarterback on the roster when the season ended. I didn't think that was by coincidence. If you saw him and Vrabel together, all that was missing was a hot tub and a bottle of champagne when they got together for those joint workouts. He got a three-day paid expedition to check out the Titans facility. He made sure he was able to get out of his contract after this season. Got a chance to see what the Titans under Vrabel were doing. He knows what the Patriots have got coming back. And he knows what the Titans have got coming back. The Titans have an opening. They've got cap space. And I think what's really important here is this is a guy who's played for one coach for 20 years. The Titans are the one team that can offer him a coach that he trusts.
So I don't disagree with a lot of what you said.
But you agree with some.
I mean, that's why I think ESPN has made this such a big story. I just don't think the Titans have any interest in Tom Brady. I don't.
Well, I disagree.
I think they are committed to Tannehill. I think Tannehill is their guy. I think in the next week and a half, they're going to work a deal out with Tannehill before free agency so they can use the tag on either Conklin or Henry. I do not see the Titans. I think Vrabel and Robinson both know Tannehill will be their quarterback next year.
Well, look, I'm not going to say that he won't be. He certainly could be. But I think we all have to – it's not crazy – to say that Brady could be the Titans quarterback next season. It's not outlandish. I mean, look, I think he wants to leave New England at this point. And I think from what I've heard, New England is prepared to move on without him. I think they know they need pieces. They may be getting ready to, I don't want to say start over, but retool at some point, because they're going to have to. And Brady's 42, 43 years old. And, you know, as Jeff said, we have to be prepared to accept the fact that it is entirely possible that he will wind up in another uniform next season. And if we do wrap our heads around that and you say what teams make sense, the Titans are at the top of that list.
But you
they're
don't
at the top of that list.
But again, my whole thing here is the Tannehill aspect of it. I would get Brady wanting to come to the Titans.
Okay.
But do you don't think the Titans are as sold on Ryan Tannehill as I think they are?
Well, look, how many Super Bowl rings does Brady have?
Brady has 6.
How many does Tannehill have?
He has 0.
How many yards did Tannehill throw for in those first two rounds?
But that's not why they – I mean, they won the game. And in large part, the Baltimore game
– I'm not finished.
Okay, go ahead.
So when they needed Tannehill to step up and carry them in the playoffs, because we've just said Henry carried them in the first two rounds, right?
I mean, people do forget – that Ryan Tannehill threw more passes than Derrick Henry had runs before the Titans got to 14-0 against Baltimore, both of which came from Tannehill's throws. And so I think we forget about that. Like, Tannehill threw the ball early and effectively against Baltimore, and that's why you got your lead, and then you went and pounded Derrick Henry.
Okay. So my last point is this. Look, I'm not trying to bash Tannehill. I'm just saying – you're asking if they're completely sold, and I'm bringing up why you might not be completely sold. You play the Chiefs, second half, you need Tannehill to carry you, and he can't do it.
I mean, I don't disagree with any of that. I just want, do you think if Tom Brady was the starting quarterback of the Titans in Arrowhead that day, that the Titans would have beaten the Chiefs?
I don't know, maybe. He's Tom Brady.
Do you think, I'm looking at Floyd, do you think if Tom Brady was the quarterback of the Titans at Arrowhead that they would have come back and beaten the Chiefs?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't even remember the game now. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, there are ifs and there are buts, but there's one thing that's a fact. Tom Brady's one of the three greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest.
Oh, he's the greatest quarterback ever.
What?
And listen, either if it's a great problem to have that we're talking about which guy comes here, okay? And either way, I think the Titans are winners. I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just saying my brain is totally wrapped around that Brady could be a Titan, and it's been that way since the season ended.
There's been a lot played up about how they're friends, Brady and Mike.
Yeah.
And we know they are. You know, they played together, been in the league about the same time, but is that a good reason to become a Titan?
Well, I don't think because they're friends is the reason, Floyd. It's the trust factor. Is Brady going to go play for Anthony Lynn and the Chargers and have any idea what he's walking into?
No.
Not really. But if he walks into Nashville with Mike Vrabel, he knows exactly what he's walking into. And I think that has a lot to do with it. This is a guy who's known... he's known everything around him for 20 years, okay? And if he makes a change, it's an awfully big change, and it's an awfully bold move to make. And so that's, again, why I point to the Titans. Who's the one guy who he's going to trust? And to me, it's Vrabel. I mean, is it going to be Matt Patricia in Detroit? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, but what about
Brian
this?
Flores?
What about this? We were talking about this earlier. Tom has played for the best coach in the NFL history for 20 years.
Yep.
He's got a coordinator that's been there for 10, 15 years.
Yep.
And only worked with him.
Yep.
How is he going to handle moving to a second-year head coach who's never coached offense with a first-year offensive coordinator that has no knowledge of the New England system? Certainly not as much as Tom.
Well, I mean, it's third year and second year. you know, at this point. But I think also if Brady comes in, he carries some weight to change things and some knowledge to change things. You know, because obviously you're not going to be able to call the exact same plays. You're not going to be able to run the bootlegs and the read options and the things that you ran with Mariota or Tannehill.
Right.
But, I mean, look, I mean, you just talked about Josh McDaniels. You know, he's been doing it for, what, 10, 15 years?
Long time, yeah.
That means at some point he walked in and it was year one. And, you know, everybody has a year one, everybody has a year two. And, you know, I think Arthur proved a lot to a lot of people. And I don't have a lot of concern about Brady learning what he needs to learn. I'm very confident he can turn and hand the ball to Derrick Henry 24 times a game and do that pretty well.
I think about it more like Corey Curtis, who's too with us. I think about it more about Nate Davis needing to learn what Nate Davis has to do differently. And now that middle of the offensive line, which we don't think is very good at pass blocking, now all of a sudden becomes the most important part of the team because that's how you beat Tom Brady.
Well, they were pretty good the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season.
Not pass blocking. They were great run blocking. But we saw in Kansas City, when they had to pass, they could not block those Kansas City pass rushers. And Chris Jones ate everybody alive in that game.
Well, Chris Jones is an elite player. The Chris Joneses of the world do that.
I know, but you're not bringing in Tom Brady to beat Houston.
When the pressure comes, the quarterback, as we said with Marcus Mariota, he was bagged over and over again for not handling the pressure. And so we're going to excuse Ryan Tannehill for not handling the pressure in Kansas City. Now suddenly it's only the offensive line's fault. I mean, look, Tom Brady's been hit a million times. I watched Tom Brady in an AFC championship game in Denver just absolutely get pounded and still have his team within a possession of winning that game. You know, Nate Davis will be a year better. I am confident of that. Now I'm very concerned about who lines up next to him. I think that's important, and I think that will be important to Tannehill or Brady, who the Titans line up at right tackle for next season.
Well, I worry about the other side of it. I worry about, you know, how much more knowledgeable is Tom going to be, and I don't mean this to sound ugly, than Vrabel and even Arthur.
You mean just being smarter than those guys?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's had 20 years of doing the same thing.
Did an offensive coordinator ever really call plays for Peyton Manning?
That's a good question. I don't know. But Peyton,
I don't know.
Peyton handles everything. But I think that's the case. That's like we just heard. Who was that was just talking?
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp just said, hey, when he came to Denver, he controlled it. Practice. He put the script together. He controlled the tempo. He controlled what they did. He controlled the whole thing.
That's smart.
I know, but are Mike and Arthur going to be able to do that?
You know, that's a really good question because we don't know. But I do know this, as we're talking about here. Good coaches adapt to their personnel. And, you know, I think Mike's a pretty sharp guy. I think he's got a lot of confidence in himself. I think, you know, Arthur adapted to a quarterback change midseason. He adapted to an offensive line, you know, that changed over the season. And I think if the best quarterback that ever played strolls in the door, you're open to working with him with what he needs to be comfortable. I think that would be crazy not to think. Look, all these things are concerns. But I can also say this. I got concerns that Ryan Tannehill just turned in at Joe Flacco. Okay, because I've never seen Ryan Tannehill play that well before. He was fantastic down the stretch. He was great. Am I sold that he's going to be that good next season? No, I am not. He very well could be. He very well could be, and I hope if the Titans bring him back, I hope he's even better.
Oh, okay, so if it's Corey Curtis, John Robinson, and Mike Vrabel all in a room, and you guys are deciding who the next, you know, what's the plan at quarterback here in the offseason?
It's a huge question.
And John says, all right, I want everybody's opinion. Mike, Corey, and then he'll give his opinion. What are you telling Mike and John about your opinion of the quarterback situation? I mean, you could say, hey, I'd like to swing a trade for Andy Dalton. You could say whatever you want, but what is Corey Curtis's opinion of what the Titans should do at quarterback?
Well, I think regardless of who they bring in, Brady or Tannehill, it needs to be a 2 or a 3 year deal, a deal escapable probably after two. Okay, that's number one. And they probably need to bring in a quarterback this year, and if not this year, for sure next year, to start grooming to get ready. Because even if it's Tannehill, he's 32 years old, and I don't know how many years he's got left. And if he plays 2 or 3 great...
That was what he was asking you for your opinion at the quarterback position.
On the basis, yes. Price is also involved here. You know, if Brady wants $38 million, then I'm going to say no.
Corey Curtis?
If price is similar, then I'm going to say yeah.
I mean, this has been a really good hot take segment on Hot Take Friday, but yeah, you do get your hot take of the week. Give us your hot take, Corey Curtis.
If the players agree to this deal that the owners try to ram down their throats here, they are crazy. Nobody plays for less. The players certainly shouldn't play for less in week 17. And the fact that the owners are trying to pass this through so quickly tells me one thing. They're trying to push something by them. Don't do it. Stick it out. Dig your heels in. Get what you need.
Corey Curtis, News 2. I will say this. There's no doubt in my mind that this deal favors the one that the owners are trying to get done, favors the owners. I mean, that's what owners do.
Corey, well, it should.
Yeah, that's what they do. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Appreciate it, Corey.
All right, you guys have a
thanks,
great
Corey. Weekend.
Floyd, tell Tom I said hi. I'll see him in a few weeks.
Okay.
That may have been his best take of the whole Fireball Hot Take Friday weekend. Okay, I want to get to what Corey said right there. I think Corey made it clear. He doesn't trust Tannehill next year.
Well, I don't know. I think what he made clear is that he was going to take the guy that has 6 Super Bowl rings, which, I mean, that's hard to argue with. Let's face it.
Let's take your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Our big, long, commercial-free segment is next. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I think Mardi Gras is this weekend. I think it's a big weekend for partying, and it's a big weekend for Fireball. That's right. If you are going to be spending any time going out this weekend, make sure to enjoy ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Goes down so smooth and tastes so great. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Of course, Fireball, big players in New Orleans, but also huge players here. Nashville made it famous. Fireball, Sin Whiskey, night to night. Please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. Fireball, Sin Whiskey. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think Tannehill was clearly better than Brady this year.
Yeah.
And I think next year the gap will widen as Tannehill's now played in this system for a year. He's kind of made his bones, and Brady's 1 year older.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Brady didn't have any help, and it's blasphemy to sit up there and denigrate him in any way considering how he was bereft of weapons. If he had better weapons to throw the damn football to, he would have had better results.
After week 7, Tannehill did have better numbers, and of course, Vrabel and Brady won 3 Super Bowls together.
And that is the argument. Tannehill and Brady. I was stunned, Floyd. Corey Curtis, News 2. Either he doesn't seem to have enough faith in Tannehill to repeat his performance, or he seems hot for Tom Brady. I mean,
yeah,
he seems sexy for Brady.
Yeah, I think he's seeing Super Bowls.
I was a little surprised by that. Again, the poll yesterday, 65% of the fans say Tannehill over Brady. Fireball Hot Take Friday to your phones. Alex is up next. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up? So I was going to ask y'all, why are so many people not on Ryan Tannehill saying he can't do this and do this year again? When this year, the season that just happened was probably the best on paper roster the Titans have ever had in the last, like, 4 or 5 years. But that teams were led by Mariota, by an injury-prone, inconsistent Mariota. And yet we were able to win a playoff game, got to see the playoff, got to be in the playoff hunt 2 years, and yet Ryan Tannehill comes in. We win 2 playoff games. We have momentum, and yet people are saying that he can't do this. Why is that?
Floyd?
I'm very confused.
Thank you, Alex.
I think it's because of his past, you know, because of Miami, what went on in Miami. And I think they keep reflecting back to Miami and keep, you know, why didn't this happen before kind of thing. And it is highly unusual, let's face it, for a quarterback to get, you know, traded out of one – out of the franchise that brought him in to be the franchise quarterback. They trade him out for, you know, relatively modest draft choice and then turn around and have that guy take you to the AFC championship game. I mean, I can't, I don't know how many times that's happened, but it hadn't been a lot. And so I think they're kind of saying, okay, it worked. You know, this was, for whatever reason, this was the best possible situation he could be in. But can it happen again? And the truth is, I mean, we've talked about this before. And I said last year, you know, they can play 30% better this next year and not make it to the AFC championship game because that's how hard it is to get there. And it's only a matter of an injury here or a penalty there or a drop ball here or a fumble there or any of those things. And boom, you're out. That's what's different, you know, about the NFL. So I think it's the chances of getting back are always tougher. And you have to have a legitimate team. You have to have a team across the board where you say, okay, you know, I'm confident this team can come back and perform at the same level it performed last year.
I mean, the NFL is so, so tough.
Oh, it's so hard.
I mean, if Lamar Jackson converts 2 fourth downs or Harbaugh kicks a field goal to make it a 14-9 game at the beginning of the second half.
Maybe all changes.
I mean, yeah, like maybe. That. I mean, Lamar had been converting fourth downs all year. And now you stop him twice.
Yeah.
Like, that's – so it's hard for me to sit here and think that Brady's going to walk right in and all of a sudden the Titans are headed to the Super Bowl. But crazy things have happened in this league. Tyron and Brentwood. Go ahead, Tyron.
Well, 2 for 2 the last 2 days.
Tyron!
Corey Curtis. They're on the Uncle Tyron wagon train. Great minds think alike. And these are paid professional experts. Not like you, Jared the delusional Spielman. Jared, what has happened to you, man? You have fallen by the wayside the last couple of years, man. I mean, I remember 9-12, and then you carried that momentum on over here to 2-6. You were balls to the wall on fire. And now you just turned into a sentimental pansy, soft and fluffy. What the hell happened to you, man? This Tannehill nonsense. I mean, hey, where we're at it.
I like Tannehill. I think Tannehill's good.
We all get ourselves a sweet hand every now and then. That was just a 7-game, 10-game blemish. That's all. He sucks. It was all King Henry, and he came in and did what he could. Ask yourself this. If he was that good, and if they really believed in him, why didn't he beat Mariota to start the season? Why didn't he win the job? There was a reason he was a backup. There was a reason. He couldn't beat Mariota out. Now, he came in. They caught fire. They got lucky to get in the playoffs, and he made the most of it. But please, stop with this Tannehill stuff, man. I tell you what, when Tom Brady comes in a few weeks, hey, I don't want you part of an introductory press conference. I want you to go follow Tannehill and cover him. I mean, please. I mean, this is getting outlandish and crazy, this Tannehill stuff. You might as well go back and bring Jake Lockley. You believe in him, too, don't you? My goodness, just stop now. Floyd, Corey said something interesting as he's about ready to get off the phone. He said, tell Tom I'll see him in a few weeks. Again, Floyd, stop it, man. Quit pulling the wall over. Hey, at least let Jared in the loop, man. Don't leave him out there hanging like you keep doing, man. He sounds bad with this Tannehill stuff. Let him know Tom Brady's coming on the up and up, and he can bring himself to gather himself and say, okay, I got to see Tannehill. Because, man, quickly, don't do your boy like that, man. Don't hang him out there dry. Corey's on to you. I've been on to you since August. Uncle Floyd, my uncle, stop. You know, good damn well Brady's coming. Quit leaving him out there hanging, man. Tyron. Put him in the circle.
Appreciate your call, Tyron.
Thanks, Tyron.
Again, 65% of the people here in Nashville want Ryan Tannehill to be their starting quarterback. Like, it's not. Yeah, I'm not the only person in this town
that
poll, wants
right?
Ryan yeah. Tannehill to be the quarterback. And it's not that I mean, I would love for Tom Brady to come be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year. I mean, it would make my day on the radio for Tom Brady to be. I mean, we've spent like 3 weeks on Brady to the Titans.
Oh,
neither of us think Brady's coming to the Titans.
Endless conversations.
And he's not even here.
Yeah.
Imagine what it would be like if he was the quarterback of the Titans. Like, so that, I mean, I would love it. Yet at the same time, it just doesn't add up to me. It just doesn't add up. What would have to change in his life, what would have to change in your life and on your team, and his age and all, like, it all factors in, and you've got You've got Ryan Tannehill, who you can franchise tag, who was statistically the best quarterback in the league last year. To me, it's too simple. The Tannehill thing, there's almost no risk involved other than the risk that Tannehill sucks. The other side of it is, what if Brady comes here and isn't good? Now you've torpedoed your entire franchise. And Tom Brady, because there's a lot of people that believe Brady's a system quarterback. I think every quarterback is a system quarterback. And I think that your coaches have to make the system fit the quarterback. Like, you can't go put Tom Brady in Baltimore's system and expect good results.
Oh, no. That would be ugly.
So I've always believed that. But Tannehill fits this system. Tannehill fits it. Maybe he's Jared Goff. But do you know what the good part about that is? Is one, Jared Goff's like 24. So the Rams have to deal with Jared Goff not being smart enough. I'm not sure Goff may ever get to being smart enough, to be honest with you. But they have to, like, teach Goff every day what's going on. You have to teach Tannehill that. He's been through all of that. So you get, like, a mature quarterback who fits this system, and you would say, well, Goff can't do it without Gurley, and then Tannehill can't do it without Henry. Okay, so then you bring back Henry. But guess what? You're not going to pay Henry what you paid Gurley, and you sure as hell aren't going to be paying Tannehill what they have to pay Jared Goff, which puts you at the advantage.
Right.
So I don't think I'm soft for wanting Ryan Tannehill back. I think I'm smart for wanting Ryan Tannehill back.
Which makes sense to me. I mean,
but not to Tyron.
Corey Curtis
has his reservations about Tannehill now.
And rightfully so. I mean, we've already talked about those reservations. And they're legitimate.
Well, we've already talked about everything. We just keep talking
about it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're legitimate, you know, concerns. I mean, let's face it. And I don't think it's ridiculous that guys are, you know, concerned about that. I think this is the calculated, you know, mess that GMs get in on a yearly basis. Is it worth, are you willing to, you know, roll the dice to the tune of, you know, whatever the amount's going to be, 60, 70, 80, $100 million, whatever the contract is, because that's the bet you're making.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared the GM, ESP at 1025 The Game.
Competitively, he doesn't want to be left holding the bag the same way that Robert Kraft doesn't want to be left holding the bag. You know, he's the greatest quarterback ever, but when's it going to run out? And, you know, I think that's a perfect example. Derrick Henry does not want Tom Brady on that team to be most competitive next season.
Okay. Do you believe that?
No.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, the whole thing's fluid right now, so it may be looking like Tannehill's probably going to be back there. So you got to say good things about Ryan Tannehill if he's going to be your quarterback next season.
So that's one, right? Because he shared a locker room with him. And might have to again.
Yep.
And number two is Brady's going to cost more, and Henry wants to be paid.
Right.
So there's, I wouldn't rule out that element.
And maybe they're throwing more with Tom Brady's there, and Henry's getting the ball less.
Right? Or they let him go? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's good for him. But you know.
But if Henry really wants Tannehill over Brady, he's a freaking loser.
Yeah. No. I mean, what a huge mistake.
And I don't think he is. So hopefully, you know, for his sake, he's just defending a teammate.
That was Boston Radio. I feel, even though I like Tannehill and I would take Tannehill over Tom Brady, you heard them right there saying, if Henry really wants Tannehill over Brady, he's a freaking loser. Tyron and Corey Curtis in Boston Radio are making me feel like a freaking loser because I want Tannehill over.
Well, I wouldn't worry about the Boston Radio.
Tyron and Brentwood or
Boston
Corey Curtis?
Radio. That's the way that's going to work.
Oh, Boston Radio. I mean, you know.
I don't think I've ever been a place where they're either completely in love or completely hate.
Well, it's the two stations.
All the
one of the stations is like a total homer station. Like, they just love them. And then there's that show, which is just, you know, is always, you know, knocking the teams. which is my favorite show in America. I think it's the best show in America, which may give a lot of people of a hint of where I get some of what I get from. But I promise, back to your phones. So to them we go. A.G. is up next. What's up, A.G.? A.G. Oh, A.G.'s killing me. A.G. He's a veteran caller.
What's he? What was he, listening to the radio?
I don't know. He's a veteran caller. AG knows better than that. I am vehemently disappointed. Text her to the text line. If Brady needs weapons around him to succeed, then it's not the same quarterback that he once was. Floyd, using your scouting senses, who has the greater potential in the future, Brady or Ryan Tannehill?
In the future?
That's what I didn't ask the question.
No, I mean, Tannehill, without a doubt. Simply because he's, I mean, it's funny.
That he's not 40?
Because we know, it's funny because we talk about Tannehill and we're kind of like, well, you know, you can only give him like a 3-year contract because he is 31 or 32 or whatever he is. I'm thinking to myself, Brady's 11 years older than this guy is. And we're talking crazy about doing the same kind of contract. I'm going, what's, is this a crazy scenario or what? I mean, it's off the wall.
Texter, Brady threw for over 4,000 yards and less picks in 2018 and a completion percentage in line with his career norms with absolute garbage receivers this season. Why is that considered him taking a step back? Still, it seems like he's still Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, the step back is because
they lost.
Yeah, they didn't win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's, let's face it.
I mean, they didn't get out of the wild card round. This is the first time since 2009 that they didn't get out of the wild card round. And in the last 2 weeks, the Patriots lost to Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill, which going into the season would have seemed to be unfathomable. The idea of the New England Patriots. I mean, even like yeah, I want to say, you know, when we had that big, you know, the little Jared and the GM soiree that I threw, whatever. Like, when we had that, the Titans had just gotten their rear end spanked on Thursday Night Football against the Jags.
Oh, yeah.
And New England was like 5-0 to start the season. If somebody had told you then, like at that night, at that party, if someone came up to you, and the fireball was flowing pretty heavily that night, and if someone had come up to you and said, Floyd, I think the Titans are going to beat the New England Patriots in the playoffs this year. I mean, you would have laughed in their face. Oh. I would have laughed in their face. We thought the Titans were terrible
Everybody.
At that point in time.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, the idea that that happened, that is so un-New England-like. And that's where people get the idea of the step back. I don't think either of us, both of whom think Brady stays in New England, and I think both of whom would probably pick Tannehill over Brady, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, by any means, that we're not saying that Brady didn't have, compared to what he's had before, Brady didn't have lesser talent around him. But one of the things that's made Tom Brady Tom Brady is the fact that he makes a guy like Chris Hogan look like an actual player and not just some stiff, and then Hogan goes to another team and we never hear from him.
If you, yeah, I mean, and I don't think there's any doubt but that the personnel, the specialists that Tom had to throw to and hand to were subpar for them. I don't think anybody in New England wouldn't agree with that. I'm talking about in the facility. And that's why they went out of desperation and tried to get a Gordon and tried to get an AB and tried to get those guys. I mean, they weren't thinking long term. They're just thinking, hey, we've got to do something
like,
to fill the hole.
Like, do you think Belichick wanted to bring Antonio Brown in after what Antonio Brown did to the Raiders?
No, I mean, he didn't. Nobody was in love with that. I don't think. But they got him cheap, one. And they, number two, if in fact he came in and if in fact he did something, I mean, he could have been the difference in their system, in their season. But, I mean, I don't think Tom wasn't happy with him. I don't think Bill was happy with him. And that's why I don't, people are acting like, you know, they're going to, New England doesn't have, you know, the quality receivers that maybe we do. But you know what? They got a bunch of draft choices, and they're going to go out and they will get that fixed.
Well, it bothers me.
They will change all that.
Is that nobody talks about the risk that is involved in pursuing Brady. Nobody's brought this up. I mean, we've touched on it a little bit, But I don't think we've even touched on it enough for how important it is. If you go after Tom Brady and you don't get Tom Brady for whatever reason, Ryan Tannehill's gone. And maybe goes somewhere else in spite of you. So, like Jeff Darlington said yesterday, he thinks Carolina would have interest in Tannehill. He thinks Tampa would have interest in Tannehill. He thinks there's a market for Tannehill. And I think Gruden loves him. I think Gruden loves Tannehill. Like, that was the vibe I got after the game when the Titans went to Oakland. And that was Tannehill's best game of the season. He threw for like 391 and four touchdowns. I mean, that was that game against Oakland. I mean, if your defense did anything in the first half, you would have won that game 55-0.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it just was, Tannehill was on fire in that game. And I think Gruden loves him. And if you go after Brady, like Brady has an elbow problem. Texter talked about Brady's elbow at the end of the year last year and how that was an issue. Always on the injury report, always had a bag of ice on his elbow after the game. Like, you know, was that a problem? Whatever. And I think for me, What if you bring in Brady and that 42-year-old body doesn't pass your physical? Yeah, Tannehill's gone. You don't get Brady. What do you do now? Now Jameis Winston. Now Jameis Winston's your quarterback.
Andy Dalton. Where are you?
Good. So now Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston's quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And you think you're going to Baltimore next year to go beat them and go, you know, as the seventh seed in the AFC, which is now a thing. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's not so, and it bothers me because people don't look at this like the idea of if you pursue Brady, you probably lose Tannehill and you may not get Brady. And no one talks about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a risk that will be run on the beginning of the new league, free agency, you know, when it begins, whenever that is.
But that begins, I believe, like March 18th. Is when that begins.
It's like middle of the month.
But like March 5th, I think, is the deadline for you to either tag or not tag Tannehill.
Yeah, which I think they'll, I mean, we'll know. That'll tell us a ton. Before.
Like if they don't tag Tannehill, holy crap. If Tannehill doesn't have a deal and they don't tag him, wow, that's a huge issue.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have to keep in mind that they might have a deal right there done.
Isn't that called cap avoidance?
Well, no. I mean, you can sign your own guys, you know, which...
Right, but I just said, if they don't have Tannehill signed, and they don't have him signed and they don't tag him, and the deadline passes, Tannehill's going to the market.
Oh, sure.
So now you're screwed. If you don't get Brady...
Or
you're going to have to pay more money.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you don't know. You know, that's a risk you run. Absolutely. If he gets free and he takes a visit, I always assume they were gone. If you've got a good player and he takes a visit, chances are he's signing someplace else.
So if the Titans let that happen, then they lose Tannehill, and nobody is talking about the risk that Andy Dalton's your quarterback. That is literally the definition of getting caught with your pants down. Is if you go after Brady, you don't get him, and neither of us think Brady's leaving. You go after Brady, you don't get him, Tannehill goes somewhere else, and now Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback of the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're down to, if that happens.
You can't let that happen.
Well, I agree.
But that's the thing I think fans don't understand. Like, I don't think Corey understands that if you go after Brady and you don't get Brady... Now you're stuck with Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston as your quarterback. How do we feel about that? How do we feel about Jameis? I mean, like, I would say everything John Robinson has done over 4 years, which is really impressive when you think about it. The fact that he inherited a franchise quarterback who kind of stunk and has coaching changes, has been to the playoffs twice, 4 winning seasons. You're always at least in the mix in December. It's always fun. He burns up every dollar of currency he has with me if Jameis Winston rolls out there week 1 as the starting quarterback of the Titans. I mean, like, everything good that you've done, you have erased by botching the free agent quarterback carousel and ending up with Jameis Winston as your quarterback. Oh, my God.
And have to pay him a bunch of money.
Oh, my God. Jameis Winston. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and Floyd, 615-737-1025. Streaming on the Game Nashville app.